Welcome to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone. So, you have a big house that you've lived in for years. Your kids grew up there. You had endless family gatherings and parties. And then the kids are off on their own. Parties are fewer. And you realize the house is just too big for you. So, it's time to make a change and downsize. Easy to say, how do you do it? The idea of it is exhausting and terrifying. Well, enter Eileen Opetut. She's not only a successful realtor, she spent 25 years in the TV industry as a top executive for places like the Food Network and MTV. And now Eileen is a founder of a new website to help people to downsize. Eileen, this is a great idea.
Thank you.
This effort began because you went through the process yourself. Tell me about your story.
Well, I have three children, and when they left the house, it, just as you said, it became a little overwhelming. But the most important thing is that as the tail end of the boomer generation, I had a lot of life left to live. And I was being held down by all of my real estate payments. And I wanted to travel. I wanted to experiment. You know how they say 60 is the new 40.
Right.
And I had lots of interests and realized that I needed that cash to try to achieve those. And that's one of the reasons for downsizing. And that's precisely what we did. We got a great house, about a third the size, about a third of the property size as well. And it was much more manageable. And it was, I felt less guilt-ridden leaving the house and less worried when I left it to go try new things and new adventures.
Mm-hmm. As you describe the idea of downsizing, I'm guessing a lot of people really have anxiety about their stuff and all the things in it because you simply can't bring all these things to a smaller house. Is that something that you experience? Like, what do I do with my stuff?
You'd be amazed how much stuff you keep just because you can. And as you take your time, we actually took a year to go through all of our rooms. And that was only because we wanted to eliminate as much anxiety as possible. So we would take each room one at a time and go through. I think I kept every single picture that each of my kids had drawn from, you know, infancy all the way through high school. Mm-hmm. We had I had kept all of their baby clothes just because I had the room, mm-hmm. thinking somehow someone along the way would want to use them. And I had given tons of it away. So I think you need to take your time. And what's most important to remember is that downsizing is not as simple as moving or going to a different town and relocating. You do have to go through memories. You do have to go through all of the things and just be practical about it. We actually moved so much less than we had in our house. We were a little stunned, as I said, about how much we have. And much of the stuff we haven't even used since we got there. I think that's something that Americans are really coming to terms with, which is we have a little overabundance of material goods. The other thing I'd like to say is that some people have to downsize because they're boomers and they are thinking about retirement. And most people used to live in their homes and stay there, and it's very difficult to go through change. But if you take a good hard look at your finances, and if people aren't quite 100% ready with their retirement funds, downsizing is a very good option. A lot of people I work with decide to rent or decide to move to an apartment as opposed to having to do all of the work required and all of the money needed to take care of a house.
Mm-hmm. You started this website, which is homedownsizer.com. You're in the New Jersey, New York area, Eileen, but you do assist people all over the country because this is something that a lot of people are experiencing at this point. You have blogs. What are the top tips you can give people who are considering doing exactly what you're talking about, getting rid of things, getting the burden of a huge mortgage off their back, and living a little bit freer?
Well, the first thing I would do is find an agent who really understands the needs of a downsizer. It's a little bit of being a psychologist and being very practical and creating things to do in a pragmatic way. The second thing I would say is to really think about the person who's buying your home. Styles have changed. One of my blogs recently was about the fact that in the 90s, everyone loved warm colors, yellows, beiges. Now everyone seems to like cool colors. Don't really underestimate what you need to do without spending a lot of money to prepare your house for sale. Mm-hmm. That's really the third tip, and most important, is to take a good evaluative look at your house and decide what needs to be done. I like to separate activities into three categories. One is you really must do this in order to prepare your house, and this is what it will cost. Then I look at, you don't have to do this, but you could do this. And maybe it doesn't cost anything, but it just costs time. And then the third is, don't listen to anyone. You don't have to do these things. Some people say, oh, I have to completely repaint the outside of my house, or I have to redo my floors. These are costs that all add up. So taking a good look at how much money you have remaining on your mortgage, how much money things will cost in order to fix, you need to take a good, hard, realistic look at that and work with an agent to decide, especially in your areas, what needs to be done and what doesn't need to be done.
Now, the housing market in parts of the country have bounced back, and not so much in other parts. For people who do want to leave the house because it's just too much, what about renting it, preparing it for rental? Is that a common idea at this point? Is it a creative thought?
I work with a lot of clients who do that. Sometimes they leave the house furnished. There are so many people who are being relocated and would like to live in a house for a year or maybe 2 years until they become acclimated to the area and decide where they might want to live. And that rental market is actually increasing in all markets across the country. So that's a very, very good idea. And then move to a smaller space. You're absolutely right on the money there.
I just think there's so many different ways to go about it. And I think we do get caught up in the idea of, but this is my house, this is my home, this is where my family was. But you really articulated it beautifully, Eileen Opetut, and you said, you know what, it started to become a burden because all the money was tied up in keeping the house afloat.
I got to experience one of my life's dreams, and I went to the south of France last summer, mm-hmm. and I would never have been able to have done that otherwise. Now, it seems a little glamorous, and I know not everyone can do that, but having the freedom and the ability to make choices about a very long period, which is the rest of your life, is extremely important. And it isn't necessary to have it be tied down in a home. A home is really where you make it. It's not really the house itself. And, you know, here's another thing that I did. I actually took things from my old house and brought them with me. So for example, I know this is going to sound a little odd, but it was really helpful. I took my living room curtains and turned them into little pillows and seat cushions so that I felt as if first of all, I was saving money. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I had all of those things with me that reminded me of my older home.
Very good idea. So that comfort of what you remembered, your memories were just put in a different fashion, and it worked.
It really, really worked. It felt as if you were, and in fact, people said that it felt as if they were walking into my pre-existing home when they walked into my new home, because it felt so similar.
It's a great idea, Eileen, I have to tell you. And this website is so handy for people who are considering or are going through this process right now. It's called thehomedownsizer.com, with many different blogs and articles that Eileen has written. In the remaining 40 seconds or so that we have, Eileen, I have to tell you that I went through this for my parents' house recently, and it was a tremendous process. But you get through it, don't you, right? As you start it, you're saying, I'll never finish this, but you finally get through it. And how do you feel when you do finally put the last piece in a box and ship it off?
It's a great sense of freedom and relief. I encourage you to, I also have a Facebook page, which is Home Downsizer. Please take a look at it. I could not find enough information to help me. And that's really the impetus for my desire to start this. this is something that you have to take and be very positive about. You have to take a good look, take your time, be patient, and the end will be, it'll be a great outcome. I've experienced it over and over again. And if anyone would like to ask me any questions whatsoever, even if you're not from the New York, New Jersey area, please feel free to contact me at homedownsizer.com or eopatut, which is O-P-A-T-U-T, at gmail.com.
Eileen, thank you so much. It's a great service and a lot of great information. Eileen Opatut, homedownsizer.com. I'm Valerie Smaldone for America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So in a marriage, who's happier, the man or the woman? Or put it another way, who's more at risk for depression, the husband or the wife? Here's the social science of it. In a marriage, there are ups and there are downs, and a totally perfect marriage, well, it's just only seen in a Hollywood movie. But who's more happier while married, men or women? Now, married males tend to be happier than unmarried males, but get this. Married females reported higher rates of sadness while married than unmarried females. What's the cheap psych trick? One should strive for happiness, and it's possible to achieve, but in everyone's married life, a little sadness will fall. But if sadness becomes so debilitating that it's impossible to even think about a happy marriage again, then you might want to check out some professional assistance. Check out my book while you're at it, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Lovers, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Mike was suspected in a liquor store holdup, so police officers read him his Miranda rights, then proceeded to question him. Without any evidence, they had to let him go. But a week later, the cops took him down to the station a second time. As Mike was being questioned, it occurred to him that the officers had forgotten to read him his Miranda rights. Do the cops need to Mirandize a suspect every time he's questioned? The Final Verdict after this.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Because Mike was read his Miranda rights in his first interrogation and he agreed to talk, Mirandizing a second time is not needed in follow-up interrogations. And that's the final verdict.